GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
Busiest man in the state of Maine on line three to talk with us on GHRT. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, happy election day. Welcome back to the George Hale Rick Tyler Show.
It's always good to be back.
Matt, always good to talk to you. We'll get into the weeds a little bit here while we have the opportunity. We know that there's two major issues on the ballot, and there's some local things we'll talk about. We got a bond question, approval to borrow $105 million, which helps road and bridge construction, ports, harbors, airports. The question that some people have been asking me about is this question about whether the ballot would change the Maine Constitution to make it easier for people to sign if they have a physical disability, use an alternative method of signing a petition. Can you take us down the road on that one?
Sure. So this is something we're actually trying to do, you know, unusually, George, to be a little bit proactive. The Constitution says that in order for a signature to qualify for a citizen initiative or a people's veto, it has to be an original signature made by the voter. Well, that's a bit of a problem for some people. If you, for instance, don't have any hands, or you're quadriplegic, or maybe have a serious degenerative disease like Parkinson's, for example, and signing your name is just out of the question. We have provisions in law in the Constitution for people to do absentee balloting. You know, there, if you can't manage a pen, there's a provision that allows someone to help you that has to be witnessed and notarized. Those provisions don't exist for the citizen initiative and people's veto process for people who have dexterity issues. So the constitutional amendment would only allow the legislature to ponder the issue and come up with some methodologies for people to participate, whether that, and who knows what that would look like. I mean, it could be a rubber stamp. It could be an assistant, something like that. That's not described in the Constitution. It just allows the legislature to tackle that issue so that everybody can participate in the citizen initiative process.
And in the news accounts we've read, Matt, people who cannot affix their name in the traditional way that you, me, George, and most listeners have the ability to do so, they are using alternative signatures in other official forms. This would just extend that privilege to signing a people's veto referendum or a citizen initiative.
That's absolutely correct. So it just makes it a little bit more inclusive.
Can we take a step back to the transportation bond that George mentioned just a moment ago? And that is $105 million. We followed its path through the legislature. There's matching funds with this. Is that something that if someone flips over the ballot and reads the interest statements and all the numbers, they'll see?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of what we have to do, is we have to put all the financial statements before the voters on the ballot itself. So you'll see exactly, you know, what the money goes for, how much money it leverages in terms of matching funds from federal grants and other grants, and then how that affects our total debt service. So, you know, we get a lot of questions about bonds. You know, there's been the report that there's like a $31 million surplus accumulating right now. And people, I think, rightly ask the question, why on earth, when you're bringing in money ahead of projections, would you be borrowing money? Well, the answer is really how the budget cycle works. You know, you budget for this year and next year. Sometimes these infrastructure projects take 3, 4, and 5 years to map out, plan, and complete. And you can't encumber a contract if you don't have the money in hand. So the, like, take the Penobscot Narrows Bridge. And that was like something like $72, $73 million, took 3 or 4 years to complete. If they had to go back to the Appropriations Committee every session and ask for more money, who would ever get engaged in that project? You know, you want to know that you're going to get paid at the end. So bonding is for those long-term infrastructure projects that are ongoing. That's why you see these bonds periodically. And also the legislature has been pretty scrupulous in dealing with these things. And I think there's something like 50 or 60 bond proposals this last legislative session, and this is the only one that got on the ballot. So the legislature takes great care in putting these things before the voters.
Now, of the $105 million, $80 million is going to go to road and bridge construction, $20 million for ports, airports, harbors, railroads, bicycle trails, that type of thing. And also there's $1 million in there to build or improve the pier at Maine Maritime Academy, and there's some $5 million to upgrade culverts. In other words, it's infrastructure that we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, and this is also, you know, part of the long-term discussion about how you pay for this stuff. You know, there's obviously it's critical infrastructure. This is stuff that this is infrastructure that everybody uses or benefits from. And when you get to highway funding, historically going back to the 1920s, we've paid for road and bridge repairs primarily through gas taxes and other fees. And now with things like electric cars and hybrid cars and cars that get 40 miles to the gallon, you have better cars still causing wear and tear on the roads, but they're contributing less to that pool. So we turn to long-term bonding instead of the highway fund. And I think that's something the legislature is going to be grappling with for years to come.
On this election day, we're talking with Secretary of State Matt Dunlap. That's what most every voter will see. No, that is what every voter will see when they go into the ballot booth today. Local races in Portland and in Bangor and all over the state. Are there any elections that you're watching for anything that could be a challenge for ward clerks and counters?
Well, I think Portland, obviously, because they use ranked choice voting at the local level, and they have a pretty hotly contested mayoral race. So we'll keep an eye out on Portland. We have local races, which have gotten a lot of attention in Bangor and Lewiston as well. And that's one of the strange things about this is that we don't oversee local elections. And oftentimes, it's not till after the election when we see a huge spike in turnout in a given community. And we go and do a little bit of an autopsy and find out, well, there is for instance, in Scarborough some years ago, they had something like 90% turnout. And it was a real eye popper because it was sort of an off-year election. And it turned out they had a leash dog ordinance that had everybody at each other's throats in town. So
nothing like a leash ordinance.
Doggy dog, yeah.
Never mind world peace. So those are the things sometimes that generate a lot of interest at the local level. And, you know, like, for instance, a lot of towns have marijuana ordinances on the ballot this year. And I think that's going to generate a fair amount of interest in those local communities.
I know that you said 10 to 20%, at least press reports say that's what you're anticipating, 10 to 20% of the turnout. Portland, the city clerk there is saying maybe as high as 30, 35%, because it is it's Portland and it's contentious. I think Bangor may have a decent turnout. But statewide turnouts in these things tend to be light because we don't have the big statewide or federal office candidates. I mean, we know what we get when we battle through those. We need to get more people involved, really, in these lowercase elections because it's coming out of your pocketbook.
Well, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we do our best to try to make people aware that there's an election. I mean, you will be surprised just going around town today talking to people. There will be people that you meet who don't know that today is an election day. And that's, you know, really a testament to how hard people work. You know, they have lives and they don't follow everything that we do in government, which is probably a good thing. But at the same time, you know, with those big high profile federal campaigns, like you mentioned, George, like the presidential races, congressional races, et cetera, you know, those campaigns come with them, get out the vote efforts. So, you know, these other campaigns that we're looking at today for the question one on the bond and question two on the constitutional amendment, they don't have any organized campaigns behind them. So it's really up to the voters themselves. And we have a core group of voters in Maine who would walk through a wall of fire or a 7-foot snowdrift to make sure they exercise their right to vote. And when you think about the history of this country and the people that, you know, fought and died for the right to vote, you know, my daughter voted for the first time this year. Oh. And it was the simplest thing in the world. You know, back in the June school budget validation vote, she walked in, announced her name, they gave her a ballot, she marked it and dropped it in the box. It was nothing. And yet her great-grandmother was arrested in Chicago for marching for the right to vote. So, you know, you put that in that context, and with Veterans Day coming right up, I don't think there's a better way in America to celebrate Veterans Day than getting out today and voting.
Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, who's going to crisscross a lot of the state today and end a in Old Town, we understand. That's good logistics on your part. Thanks for joining us.
He does need to go to bed.
Yes. Thanks for joining us this morning. Best to you. Safe travels about the state today, and we'll talk to you again soon on our program.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.